Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, our host Dr. Larry Spargimino will begin a conversation with author and pastor Doug Stauffer that will unlock the mysteries of Revelation. And then a little later, archaeologist and biblical scholar Clayton Van Hus will help us stay biblically grounded. Friends, join Drs. Ken Copley and Greg Patton for Defying the Demonic, a one-day intensive conference coming up on Saturday, May 17th in Faribault, Minnesota. Learn how to recognize and overcome the enemy's lies, break strongholds, and guide others to freedom in Christ. This practical, faith-empowering event includes expert teaching, a question-and-answer session, and a copy of the Defying the Demonic workbook, all of this for just $25. Register today. Reserve your spot. Visit swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144. Define the Demonic Spiritual Warfare Conference, Saturday, May 17th at Cannon City Community Church in Faribault, Minnesota. Now, here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, with today's guest.
Dr. Doug Stauffer is our guest for this program and the next. Dr. Stauffer pastors in Florida. He is also a conference speaker and a gifted author. For the last several years, Dr. Stauffer has been engaged in an exhaustive study of the book of Revelation. For these two programs, we'll be talking about Dr. Stauffer's monumental study of the book of Revelation. It is book one of the Illumination of the Book of Revelation. That's the title. Book one deals with chapters 1-7 of the book of Revelation. I really enjoyed going through it. It is loaded with scripture references, not only from the book of Revelation, but there are references to other scriptures that help the reader to understand the book of Revelation. And that is so, so important. I can assure you, if you understand the book of Revelation more than you do now, you will really grow to love that very, very important book. Dr. Stauffer uses the scripture to interpret the book of Revelation. As I've often said, the Bible is its best interpreter. Rather than bringing in ideas from outside the scripture and using newspaper exegesis, Dr. Stauffer interprets the scripture with the help of scripture. Doug, thank you so much for your willingness to be a careful student of the scriptures and to put all that down so we too can enjoy what you've discovered.
Well, I appreciate y'all publishing the book or printing the book for me, because it was going to be very difficult for me to finish it. I actually finished it a year ago, March. Then I'm looking at it saying, my goodness, April, May, June, July, I wasn't able to get back to it. And I realized I just needed to turn it over to somebody else and let you guys run with it. And you guys are just in the right position to be able to format it and do the cover design for me. I designed the picture, but your staff did a great job getting it all together.
We do have a tremendous staff. We've grown. We have many new people, and God has positioned us, I really believe, for a great end-time ministry. And of course, the book of Revelation is central to that. But Doug, I know there are a lot of commentaries on the book of Revelation, but how is yours different and perhaps more effective in helping the reader to understand this very, very important book?
Well, I think that's a great question. I could go into the history of it as far as how the book came into being, but what I think is, and remember, this goes through the first seven chapters. In chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible gives the outline of the book of Revelation. It says in verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, past, and the things which are, present, and the things which shall be hereafter. And then the way that I've always seen it interpreted, I don't agree with anymore because of the studies that God, you know, had me go through. The things which thou hast seen are the seven churches, because when you look at John in chapter 4, verse 1, he's on the Isle of Patmos, and the picture of the rapture is right there. And what he has seen is the seven churches, which represent the 2,000 years of church history.
Right.
And the things which shall be hereafter are the things that come after the rapture, which means the 7 years, the 1,000 years, the an eternity future. And the reason you know that is because he says, the things which thou hast seen, and then in verse 20 of that first, or Revelation 1, the mystery of the seven churches which thou sawest. So even though he doesn't write it until chapter 2 and 3, in chapter 1, verse 19, when you see the outline of the book of Revelation, he's already seen all of church history. And then he says, which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Twice
right.
He mentions the past being the things that thou hast seen, and then the things that are, and then it says hereafter. You go to chapter 4, after this, after what? After the seven churches, which is church history, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise, which said, come up hither, that's a picture of the rapture, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he used that word hereafter as the future. Here he uses it again, showing that everything from chapter 4, verse 2, is after the rapture of the church. So Revelation, just in that one point, in Revelation 1, 19 and 20, in chapter 4, verse 1, gives a pre-tribulation picture of all of eschatology.
Well, that is really a wonderful observation. And of course, as you point out, the Apostle John was an eyewitness of everything he saw. Chapter 1, 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And then chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, the door was open. John was an eyewitness of what he is reporting. Do you think we can safely say that John was transported into heaven and transported into a future time of worldwide tribulation and woe?
Oh, no doubt. I think when you read the Bible literally like we do, I mean, we're biblicists. We believe what the Bible says is literal when it's supposed to be taken literal, and when it's figurative, it'll tell you that. But yes, he is most definitely transported into what he would have said was future, what we might say is present, because we're during the seven churches. We're the Laodicean age church, even though I tell people, look, don't get discouraged because you're in the Laodicean church age. Be a Philadelphia church member. In other words, be
Amen.
That, you know, that evangelistic, that church member that's not Laodicean, you know. And so he was transported in the future. He saw things that he wrote, and we get the joy of reading through those things and seeing the things that John physically saw and wrote about.
Amen. So, of course, while the preterists love Revelation 1:3, the time is at hand, John is at the very threshold of the tribulation, and from that perspective, the time is indeed at hand. That wipes out preterism. Of course, that's their big argument, but if John is there into the future, of course, it's coming right now.
Right. I mean, you know, when you look at it, it's amazing what they do to twist the scripture and to make it say something that it's not supposed to say.
Right.
In chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 10, he says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Well, I mean, if you're going to go and misapply verse 3, what are you going to do with chapter 22, verse 10?
Right.
And you know, they get into a quagmire whenever they do this stuff, and I wish they would just believe the Bible and quit teaching the heresy.
Well, it's really interesting, you know, at one time, many, many, many years ago, I was a partial preterist that, you know, I did believe that Jesus was coming back literally and physically. But actually, if you're a partial preterist, you really need to be a full preterist and say, well, a second coming has already occurred, which is ridiculous. I think you make a good case. I think your commentary is tremendous. Now, historically, there have been different ways of interpreting the book of Revelation, preterist, futurist, historical, and so on. Which do you think is the one that brings out the true meaning of the text? And how do you approach the text of the book of Revelation?
Well, I approach it as a biblicist. I approach it, if it says what it says and means what it says, that's how we need to approach it. If it is, use the word kind, or, you know, it's like it, then, you know, yes, it has an application that is more spiritual. But what we've got to do is we've got to look at the Bible and let it interpret itself. The Bible and prophecy, there's no private interpretation. So when I teach the Bible, when you teach the Bible, what we do is we let the Bible say what the Bible says. And listen, the book of Revelation is not the hardest book in your Bible. I thought Hebrews was much more challenging than Revelation. I believe there are other books in the Bible that are much more challenging. All you've got to do is get a couple of key points to understand, and you can follow the book of Revelation and not get caught up in the error that's out there. I am premillennial. That means that I believe that the rapture is going to happen before the millennium, and the millennium hasn't happened yet. Therefore, I'm not a preterist. I'm not replacement theology.
Right.
And I'm pre-tribulation, meaning just like I talked to you about in the first question that we talked about, in Revelation 4:1, the things that are hereafter is after the church is gone. If you just study the word church in your Bible, you'll see it in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then chapter 4 is the picture of the rapture. And then during that time in chapters 5 through 19 and 20, you don't see the church mentioned one time in there until, you know, later in the book. So where the church is, there is no tribulation period. And where the tribulation period is, the church is unmentioned because the church is in heaven with God.
Right. What I've come to understand, and certainly we're in agreement, the book of Revelation is not a book of concealing, it is a book of revealing. And there's also a blessing promise to those who read it and keep it, Revelation 1:3. So this leads me to think that the reader is meant to understand the book, and wildly allegorical and spiritualized interpretations are thereby ruled out. So in other words, when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense. And if you apply that to the book of Revelation, you'll love it because you understand it.
Absolutely. That makes sense to me. And I'll tell you what, you know, when you look at it, yes, blessed is he that readeth. I remember when I first taught Revelation, I was evangelism for 19 years until I took over the pastorate about 5.5 years ago. And one of the things I did in 2019 was I went into a church. I'd written a 200-page book on Revelation. I did PowerPoint, and I taught it all in 1 week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday through Friday for 2 hours a night, went through all 22 chapters. First of all, I got the pastor's wife said, "You're not going to scare us, are you?" And I said, no, that's not Revelation. I mean, I'm not going to. The point is, it's not a scary book. If you really think about it, you're not even here. And so that was one answer. And then another one, boy, a blessed lady comes up. She says, "I've always been afraid to read the book of Revelation." And then after I was finished, she came up to me and she said, "I am going to read the book of Revelation. I've read the other 65 books, but never Revelation because I was always scared to do it."
Right.
And you took that fear away with the truth. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
I agree. Well, friends, I know you will want Volume 1 of The Illumination of the Book of Revelation by Dr. Douglas Stauffer. It is an exposition of the first 7 chapters of the book of Revelation. It also has other material that will help the reader understand this very important book, all 22 chapters. Like Dr. Stauffer has said, a lot of people are afraid of the book of Revelation. Some Christians think they do not know enough about the Bible to understand it. Others think it's too controversial or that no one really knows what it means. But I guarantee that Dr. Doug Stauffer's illumination of the book of Revelation will demolish these fears and objections. When you know that you can understand the book, you will want to read it, and you will love it. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Ask for The Illumination of the Book of Revelation. The number to call, once again, 1-800-652-1144. Now, Doug, there are so many ways that we could go, but Revelation 1, verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Now, there's a lot of newspaper exegesis performed on these words. They go bananas on that. So what is the text really talking about? Tell us more about that and how you have come to see the truth of Revelation 1:7.
Well, when you look at it, it says he cometh with clouds, and these people that are mid-trib, post-trib, they say, well, see, it says clouds, and every time it says clouds, it's the rapture. And they'll go to Matthew 24 and say, well, you see the cloud there? You know, when you look at it, he's going to come in the clouds at the rapture. We're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall not precede those that have died. And we're going to be with the Lord where he goes, we go. In this verse, it says, every eye shall see him. That's why people talk about the secret rapture and all that, because they're mocking. But basically, don't mock the truth. Don't mock the fact that when the rapture happens and he appears in the clouds for the rapture of the believers, it doesn't mean that every eye is going to see him at that time. But when you look at Matthew chapter 24 and you look at how that is broken down, Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you know that Jesus is light? God is light. So when that light happens, every eye shall see the Son of Man who is light. And so that's how it's going to happen. But the Bible doesn't say that we sorrow not as even others which have no hope, for if we believe Jesus, you know, died and rose again, we shall be with him. In other words, when you look at those verses on the rapture, it doesn't show the same picture that right. You see at the second coming 7 years later. When he comes back 7 years later, he's not coming to catch out the church that's already gone. He's coming in judgment. And when you read that verse in Revelation, it's chapter 1, it's a prophecy of every eye shall see him at that time.
Right. Right. Well, there are some key things, I think, that you point out. And if you understand these key principles, everything begins to fall into place. What about the number 7? I've often wondered, I know people ask questions about it. Numbers, of course, are used for counting and accounting, but numbers are often indicative of something more than numerical value. John in the book of Revelation likes the number 7, 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 stars, 7 angels. What can we conclude from the number 7 in the book of Revelation?
Well, so much. I mean, 7 is the number of completion, 8 is new beginning. And if you know some of those things, you're able to study your Bible in a different way. You know, there's 7 trumpets, there's you could go on with all the 7s in there, and it's amazing because it's like the 3:16s in the Bible. You know, John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, 1 Timothy 3:16. God gives us a way to find things in our Bible and cross-reference in the Bible. With the number 7, it's the number of completion. That's why there's going to be a time of the rapture, and then you've got 7 years of Daniel's 70th week that'll take place on the earth, which is basically God's judgment upon man for the sin, and then you have the rapture of the church. And then if you look at another 7, you have 1,000 years in the future. That's the millennium, and you have 6,000 years in the past. Adam and Eve were created, you know, 6,000 years ago. And we know we have 1,000 left, so basically the history of man on this earth is 7,000 years, and then there'll be a new heaven, new earth. So it's amazing when you study these things how in-depth the Bible is and how much easier it is to study, because God gives you the wherewithal to be able to look at things like that and see things and know things that you wouldn't know otherwise.
Right, that's so true. You write about the triple view of Daniel's 70th week. So do you mean there are 3 different perspectives presented in the tribulation period? What do you mean by the triple view?
Well, I think when you go into Revelation, a lot of people get confused, because as you're reading through, you'll get to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, it talks about the mark of the beast. And then you read later on, it talks about the mark. And then you'll read in it, it'll look like, you know, Jesus has come back in the early part or the mid part of Revelation, then again and again. Here's the key to understanding Revelation, and that is that it doesn't just go one time through the 7 years. You can see it go through once, twice, three times. And once you get those divisions, the book completely opens up. But if you start looking at it, you'll become a preterist. You'll become confused because you look at it and say, well, right there it says Jesus came back. And I don't understand, if he comes back in chapter 14, then how does that work? Because the vials haven't even been opened yet.
Right.
And if you understand that this book repeats itself at least three times, then the book opens up and you're able to understand it better.
Good point. Well, Doug, we have a lot more to talk about. Thank you so much for this first show. So friends, be sure to tune in to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. Tell a friend about our shows. Every interview is archived. If you've missed the show or want to listen again, check out our website, swrc.com.
In the brand new book, The Illumination of the Book of Revelation, Dr. Doug Stauffer delivers a masterful verse-by-verse exploration of the Book of Revelation, offering clarity to one of the Scripture's most powerful and prophetic texts. This newly expanded third edition builds upon the foundations of his acclaimed earlier works, now out of print, and presents fresh insight for both seasoned students and newcomers to Bible prophecy. Journey through the unveiling of the seven seals, the dramatic rise of the four horsemen, and the sealing of the 144,000, all leading to the momentous events of the Great Tribulation. More than just a study, this book brings revelation to life, connecting past, present, and future truths with Christ at the center of it all. Whether you're seeking to understand end times prophecy or to reignite your spiritual walk, the illumination of the Book of Revelation will equip you to see God's ultimate plan with renewed vision and conviction. The Illumination of the Book of Revelation. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. Don't just read about the end times. Experience the transforming power of Revelation for yourself. The Illumination of the Book of Revelation by Doug Stauffer. 1-800-652-1144. Time to stay biblically grounded with archaeologist and Bible scholar Clayton Van Hus.
What was the Ark of the Covenant then? What did it do? What purpose did it serve?
It served as a kind of reliquary and a shrine. It was a shrine, sort of a deconstructed mishmash between a shrine and a throne, okay? In the chest area, that would be your reliquary. That would hold the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. But the main event was on top, the mercy seat, where you had two cherubim with their wings swept over the chest, facing each other, that protected an area of open sacred space between the wings of the cherubim.
That's something I wanted to get into, because that's somewhere that I've actually done a lot of study, written some things on sacred space. Cherubim, the imagery within the Holy of Holies, these were things I worked on in seminary that I want to do things with in the future. And that was something I was excited to find in your book, the sacred space above the mercy seat. What is a sacred space?
Okay. In the ancient view of temple rituals, space was divided into sort of two broad categories, sacred and the profane. Sacred is the kind of space that a divine entity would be comfortable living in. So it's ritually pure, it's been cleansed, it's been purified.
But I did promise that we would ask a question that everybody asks. What happened to the Ark of the Covenant? I know this is not about its Egyptian context, but I know you have a thought just like, well, everybody has a thought.
I think it was melted down by Nebuchadnezzar. You get two stories in the Talmud. One says it's under the Temple Mount. The other says it was melted by Nebuchadnezzar. I'm believing the Nebuchadnezzar story on this one.
So you're telling me those YouTube videos I watch, where they're like, oh, we've seen it. It's here. It's there. It's,
well, I mean, this is sacred. It's a sacred implement that had a lot of gold.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar paid his soldiers in gold. Mm-hmm. Weighed out gold, but gold nonetheless. That's the whole reason why those massive furnaces existed for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
They were used to melt down the sacred items of the temple to get the gold off of them to pay their soldiers.
And that makes sense. You melt it down, get rid of all the junk, the charcoal and ash, and you've got all the precious metals. Yeah. And then what happens to
and
all?
And now you've got an angel sitting in your furnace waiting for the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Good
Oops.
Going, Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
what
true.
What you unleashed here.
Look what you did. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, that's pretty good. I hadn't thought of that. That's good insight. But yeah, I do like you point out in your book that that gold just may be in circulation today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because gold is the most recycled commodity. It always has been. You know, when the Israelites took the gold from a pagan source, you know, they just melted down. And now it's been refined by fire and it's now ritually pure.
Thank you for sharing that with us, because I know a lot of our viewers will be like, hey, wait a second. No, the Ark of the Covenant couldn't have been. But, you know, this is not a thing that, you know, the Bible does not tell us what happened to it. We don't know.
There is a proper method to destroy sacred items, and that's through fire. It's always been that way. Fire purifies.
It does.
When the temple was destroyed, it was destroyed with fire. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of purification process.
Right. That is fascinating. And the whole thing, I do want to talk to you maybe in the future some more on this topic.
Sure.
Dr. Falk, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
In the brand new book, The Illumination of the Book of Revelation, Dr. Doug Stauffer delivers a masterful verse-by-verse exploration of the book of Revelation, offering clarity to one of the scripture's most powerful and prophetic texts. More than just a study, this book brings revelation to life, connecting past, present, and future truths with Christ at the center of it all. Whether you're seeking to understand end times prophecy or to reignite your spiritual walk, the illumination of the book of Revelation will equip you to see God's ultimate plan with renewed vision and conviction. The illumination of the book of Revelation. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this outstanding book on our website, swrc.com. Friends, don't just read about the end times. Experience the transforming power of Revelation for yourself. The Illumination of the Book of Revelation by Doug Stauffer. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Doug Stauffer continues to unlock the mysteries of Revelation, so be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. So please visit our website, swrc.com.